And this could be perfect for our opener, our little teaser here, if you remember this, but to use it as the teaser. But I wrote down, if content marketing is complex and overwhelming for you, it's because you are making it complex and overwhelming. It doesn't have to be complex and overwhelming. You can make it simple.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 27 of the Small Business BS Podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. In today's episode, we're going to continue on in our series on content marketing. And in this specific episode, we're going to talk about the types of content that can be used in content marketing. Now, there are a lot of different types of content, and sometimes these can be a bit overwhelming if you've not used them or had a content marketing strategy before. But Jeff, I was wondering if you could kick us off in this episode by just kind of doing a dump, just a spew of all the different types of content that are available. And then what we'll do, because this can be overwhelming, is I want to talk about practical application and how we can use content marketing in our businesses to actually see results. So Jeff, if you want to kick us off with the different types of content, we can begin there.
Yeah, so we're going to start with laying out just a whole bunch of different types, like literally like the different types of the pieces of content. And then we're going to move into the types of strategic, like the strategy types of content, and then do some examples and stuff. And I think that'll work out well. So when we're talking about types of like the pieces of content you can create, it can be overwhelming because there's a million different ones. So I'm just going to rattle off a few, right? So you got blog posts, you got videos, both long form and short form. You have social media posts and all the different types of content that go into that, whether that's a video post, a text post, a thread post, an image post, a carousel post, etc. Things like podcast, infographics, guides, checklist, courses, reports, ebooks, reviews, testimonials, articles, all these different things, even like online like newsletters, like a Substack thing, and things of that nature, webinars. These are free online courses. These are all different types of content. And I think the overwhelming part, Adam, that we talk about is like, it's like, well, what do I create? Like, I create 500 things. I asked ChatGPT what I should create, and it gave me 38,000 ideas. I don't know where to go. What should I be creating? I'll create some videos. I'll create some posts out of this. And I think the problem is that a lot of times we just create content for content creation's sake versus having a strategy behind it going, okay, we're figuring out how we want to lead people through this whole content marketing thing. We've talked about email. We talked about funnels. We've talked about all this and lead magnets. Like, now, like, this content is how you get people to notice you at first and get into your funnel and start paying attention. And then also to drive deeper into the funnel. And to eventually lead to a sale and hopefully a repeat customer, a loyal customer, a super fan, if you will. So having a strategy behind what content you are actually creating and why, I think, is really important. So if I checked your box with the types of content, give me a thumbs up, which no one else will see.
Yes, I got the thumbs up.
Is that, no. I mean, so like that starts us off. So, okay, so did I miss any? I think I named off.
Well, of course. I mean, there's so many different things. You can have information brochures, and you could go with the mail campaigns and billboards, and you know, there's all those different pieces.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how you want to take your content strategy. However, I think that you gave a great list, and we've all seen all these types before. So, you know, I don't think any of these types should be new to anybody. In fact, you know, listening to this, even if you've never done content marketing, but I think the biggest question for me, Jeff, is, you know, if somebody is trying to start and develop a content strategy, you know, what should they be doing and what should they be thinking about? And the reason I say that is I've run across people before that have a website and they say, oh, I need to get another blog post up because I was told I need to blog every week. And when I read their blogs, it was just, they were literally going through the checking the box of putting a blog post up that really wasn't that relevant. They were talking about themselves and their family, but it didn't relate to their business. And they were just told they had to do it, but they weren't given any direction. So I guess the next question that I would have is, you know, what are we supposed to accomplish, and how do we do that when we're developing content for a business under something called content marketing and a content strategy? So,
yeah, that's, I love the example too, because that's so common. I think it comes down to Adam talking about like, what's the actual goal? What am I doing with this specific piece of content, but then on a larger scale, like with all of my content? And there can be multiple targets and multiple goals, right? So, when you talk about because someone told me I should be blogging 3 times a week, I'm like, well, most likely if someone told you that, it's probably because they were thinking about SEO and they're thinking about you building up content. So if that content is not optimized properly, then it's really not that great content. Don't get me wrong. Any piece of content could hit, right? Like that's just a thing. Could always, and especially in today's world. But like typically when I hear like, oh, I was supposed to be blogging this many times a week or whatever, I'm like, that's someone was telling you that, whether they knew it or not, because of SEO, because you want to have fresh content that's optimized to try and get search engines to show people your website when they search for certain keywords and terms, which isn't going to be effective if the blog post that you put now, to your point and your example, it's just about your family and stuff. It might be a great blog post for someone who finds you and maybe knows and like learns to like you and stuff, but it's not necessarily going to work for the SEO purpose, which means it doesn't have to come out every like 3 times a week or whatever that prescription was. So I think the first piece is like, to your point, is what am I trying to do with my content? Is this an SEO thing? Is this a nurturing piece? Am I trying to educate people? Am I trying to entertain people? Am I trying to answer potential pushbacks or questions for further down the road? And I think that's the one of the first pieces of like, okay, like what kind of content do I need to create based on my goals and my what I do or do not have already, where I'm at, my journey, et cetera, et cetera. And then from there, you can get into, okay, like then what type of content in the sense of video, blog, podcast, et cetera, should I be creating? So I don't know where you want to go first, because I think you need to have the goal first and then you get into other questions when it comes to like, okay, but like what medium of content should I be creating?
Right. So great points. I love what you said. And I think that, you know, there's two pieces to this. Number one, the goal, I think, is the most important piece. Is, you know, at the end of the day, anything we do in our business, especially something like creating content that does take a lot of time, a lot of energy away from other things we could be doing in our business, the goal should be to drive sales. And so at the end of the day, there has to be a strategy behind driving sales. And this could be that you break down, you know, if you have 3 main products and services, then all of your content should relate to those 3 products or services in one way or another. It could be entertainment that you're driving traffic, but it somehow should relate to your product or service. So if you're a plumber and you clean out toilets, you could take pictures of the nastiest toilets or the times you get covered in sewage or whatever the case is for entertainment value. But also it's showing that you offer those services. So at the end of the day, it relates to one of your core products and services. So I think that's really important, is to focus on that goal of driving sales. But Jeff, I think that it would be good to take this episode in the context of social media content, because I understand that a lot of the business owners I've talked to like to focus on, especially the brick and mortar stores, they like to focus on social media as their main form of content. SEO is something us online entrepreneurs do, but all of us can use social media content. So I'd love to maybe explore then, what does that look like? You know, what would content look like, Jeff, if you're talking about entertainment or sales or the different categories and ways to develop content? What would that look like if we're trying to develop content for social media in particular? And maybe we pick a certain industry on what that could look like for them, on what content they could develop, because you could have all those different things. You could have articles, you could have videos, you could have, you know, entertainment, all of that in there. So maybe we can take that in this direction.
Yeah. That's so, So I think it still comes back. It still comes back to the goal. What are you trying to accomplish with the particular type of content you have? I think, but once we get into the it's social media content, so it's obviously awareness content. But I'm trying to. You can still like I could be creating educational content. I'd be creating entertainment content. I could be creating very sales specific content and still do that on social media. I think a big piece of figuring out where you are and some that'll go into is you got to know, you got to spend some time and figure out what's your brand voice is. What kind of style is your brand? What kind of voice does it have? Cause I think to your point, like entertainment, like you can have, and we've seen them like really funny channels that are just hilarious and a good time, but they just, but the person also happens to do something and the comedy is funny. Most specifically to the core audience. It's probably a lot of times it's funny for everyone, but it's like it's going to hit resonate even stronger with that core audience, which means hopefully then I just pay attention to Adam. And then when I realize, oh crap, Adam does that thing that I also need as one of his core audience, why I'm going to hire him because I like him. He's funny. I already, you know, I like him and trust him. And, but if your business in the, or, and, or you, or the person that's running or whatever is not like, that's not your style. You're not a funny goofball or entertaining type thing, like there's nothing wrong with that, but you shouldn't do your content that way. Your content should speak from the way, because otherwise it's going to come off really unnatural. You're probably not going to be great at it, and it's not going to work well. So I think that's part of it. I think Adam is figuring out what is your brand voice and what kind of voice do you want to have. Like when you're on social media, everything you're putting out, that's all building into how people are going to perceive you, right? So how do you want to be perceived? Are you looking to be a source of entertainment, and that's why people want to work with you because they just really like you? Or are you trying to build yourself up as a expert in your specific niche, and that's why they want to work with you? And to be clear, these things can cross over, but like figuring out your style and your strengths, either yourself or your team or whatever, I think is absolutely key. And how does that fit in now with your ultimate goal of, well, I'm trying to generate sales, however your sales funnel works based on your business.
I love that you said focus on your strengths, because so oftentimes I think we feel like we should be doing something that we're not good at or not comfortable doing. And I think the most effective social media and content creation that I see is when people are in the zone. They are focusing on their strengths and they're doing what they're good at. If you're not good at typing, don't try to type. If you're good on video, be on video. And so I think that that's really, really a key. Now, Jeff, you talked about all the different possibilities. You know, I want to provide a practical application because there's so many things that somebody could do. Several years ago, I don't think I've ever told you this, but I was hired by a friend to create a social media marketing toolkit for him, for his business. He offers social media as marketing as a service, but he had a lot of people want to do it on their own. So he wanted to offer a toolkit that they could use to get started and do it on their own. And so the method that we came up with was building a month calendar, and it doesn't even have to be a month calendar. It could be a weekly calendar. But the idea was to rotate the different types of strategies, like you were saying, Jeff, where maybe Monday is entertainment, or maybe that's not a good one. Maybe Wednesday is good for entertainment on hump day, you know, something like that,
sure.
where Monday is talking about the specials for the week. And then Tuesday is talking about a specific product or service. And then Wednesday is entertainment, and then Thursday is a quote or a picture, and Friday is a something else, or a video of something. And so you could look at potentially five different types of approaches that you wanted to do and put those into a daily strategy and just follow that each week. Or you could do that over the course of a month if you didn't want to post every day. And so I think it could be, this doesn't have to be complicated. It feels complicated, but when we simplify it down to, here's my goals for the month, is I want to do 3 posts a week, and here's how I'm going to lay this out and come up with that template, then you can repeat either week over week or month over month, year over year. And so it doesn't have to be complex. And I think one of the keys is just staying in your zone and just finding your strengths, and then based on the reactions you get, you know, lean into the ones that are doing well and lean into the ones you're getting good feedback on. So I don't think it has to be difficult. And I hope that makes sense, Jeff. Do you agree with that type of approach?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm glad you went there, because it's harking back to, I can't remember what episode it was when we talked about writing a book. And somewhere in the middle, we hit the point, the very important part of like, hey, if you don't like writing, don't do this. Like, right. And so I was thinking back, okay, the initial start of this was like, oh, someone told me I need to blog 3 times a week. Well, I'm like, if you hate writing and you're not good at it, that's probably not the way you want to go. Now, there are some cases where specific industries, whatever, like there's, I can make a case for that. It's like, well, my business is literally like very specific to legal studies and it has to be like that. Okay. You might have to do some writing, but like in general, yeah. If you don't like writing and you're not a text person, then that's not the way you should go. If you're not a video person and you're terrified to be on video, side note, I can make an argument on why you should do video to overcome fears, but we're not talking about that in this episode. From a strategy standpoint, don't be the person, don't make that the medium you got to be. Don't go, oh, I got to be on YouTube. I got to do shorts. I got to do TikTok. Even though I literally hate being on video and I'm really not, that shouldn't be for you. So I think that's a really good point of like leaning into your strengths of the medium that you choose to be on, but also the way, the approach, right? The voice, right? If you're naturally, you like to have a good time and you're funny, then yeah, that might be the style of either your writing or your images or your tweets, X's, whatever they call them these days, or your videos, right? But if you're not, if you're a little more buttoned up, like there's nothing wrong with that. That'll be the style you go with. And so I think leaning into your strengths, both in your personality and your how you can deliver information, but also the medium in which you create that, in the platforms that you're on, there's an asterisk here of like, you need to be aware of where your target audience is and do your best to meet them there. But like forcing it just doesn't work. And I'm not saying forcing it is not the same as setting up a structured routine, committed to it and building in the habit, because that takes some time. It can feel like forcing. I'm talking about like forcing it because Adam said, I should be doing short form video. So I'm going to make short form video versus I love writing, so I could pop off, you know, 500 tweets a day because I'm writing a book. You know what I mean? So like leaning into your strengths all over, I think, is absolutely key, Adam. I think that was a really good point to pull out of that. I don't even know how we got there, but I agree with it 100%. So,
well, great. Well, one other thing I was thinking, Jeff, is, you know, I think it's important to, you know, understand maybe where do we start? So maybe we can shift into just giving an example or two, but sure. I think one of the things about content marketing is I like to take the approach of either solving a problem that my audience will typically have related to my products or services or answering a question. And so when we create content around that, it draws in interest. And, you know, for example, right now I'm in the process of trying to do erosion control on a hill. it's a headache. I threw seed down yesterday and it's raining today. And so, you know, if I saw something pop up in my feed that related to that, I would be drawn in and be interested in the products and services that company offers. But so I guess I'd like to maybe do a pop quiz, Jeff, or, you know, how we love to do practical examples.
Random example? Yeah, let's do it.
Like random examples. Yeah. So what's a random example of how we can solve a problem for a general audience or answer a question for an audience? Do you want to go first? Do you want me to throw you something?
You thinking like just like let's mention a business and then go from there.
Yeah, yeah. So, an industry. Yeah,
something. Yeah. Why don't we do? I'm gonna go into the brick and mortar side of things. Let's do like we've coffee shop a lot. I don't want to go there again. How about
right?
How about I like this one because I think this is a unique one, and I think people in this world probably I don't want to say struggle is not the right word, but maybe avoid social media or don't see how it connects as well. But a mechanic, I'm a local mechanic.
Okay. Yep.
How do I? And I'm like, we get the foot traffic. People in the town know us. You know, we do the basic stuff, the typical stuff. Harken back to another episode. Our local SEO is pretty good. People find us, but we see the value in social media. We've put it off for too long. I want to get started. Like, how do I even approach this content marketing strategy and the social media piece of it?
I love it. I've got a good friend who's a mechanic. I've actually thought through this a lot. He doesn't do social media and he doesn't need it. He's got a good,
so hopefully good he's listening though,
or but thing. I hope he's listening. So, here's the thing is, you know, first of all, for him, social media, he's going to be looking at creating videos for social media that hopefully his friends and family and local community will see. That's the idea behind this, because you know, he's told me before, there's a video on everything. You know, every single thing you ever want to repair on a car, there's a video out there for. And a lot of mechanics are taking that approach. They're showing you how to change out a key fob installation for a 2010 Saab, you know, and so all of those pieces are there, and that's where mechanics tend to want to go. But I think for the local business, the idea is to drive sales. And so what I would do if it was me running the social media content is I would be focusing on the general problems that I solve. And, you know, first and foremost, I've always heard mechanics say, if you keep the fluids changed, then, you know, your car can run a really long time. And so I would, you know, consider a post about what do I need to look for with fluid? How often do I need to change fluid? What color should my fluid be? How do I know? Is it really true that I need to still change oil every 3,000 miles, or is 5,000 appropriate, or 7? I've heard different numbers. What's the appropriate number? What about high mile cars? And even then other things, what other pieces of cars need maintenance? How often should I get my transmission flushed? What if I have a CV transmission versus a traditional transmission? Does that change? And what about tires and brakes and rotors? And how do I know if I'm getting ripped off from somebody else? And so kind of getting into the head of the customer and really solving the problems that your typical customer has and the reasons why they bring a car to a mechanic. And in my personal experience, if you're, you know, if a mechanic is being very clear and open, there's going to be a level of trust forming there, which I think is one of the biggest keys to mechanics having repeat business. When I lived in a larger city, it was terrible. It was terrible trying to find a good mechanic. Fortunately, now my mechanic was a childhood friend of my wife, and so we've become really good friends. And I love that I can just text him a question. He responds to me. I can run a, you know, and he will, it's the best mechanic situation I've ever had. But he does that for all his customers. It's not just me. And so yeah, those are the types of things I think that are beneficial.
So the strategy that I'm hearing in there from a social media strategy is that the content that that you would be creating here is actually all the problems that you're talking about are all the problems that are likely to occur at some point, but most of us don't think about, that might lead either problems and or mistakes or just overlooks, right? That can lead to the problems that we typically think about in a car. We think about, you know, parts going bad or, you know, the engine running down or whatever, but like things like, hey, changing the fluids. Hey, focus on these three or four little things that you don't think about that actually play into how well the engine runs or how long the engine lasts. Doing that, so the content, it's educational, but it's a little bit like when you were going through that, I was like, I'm going to my head. I'm like, oh, here's five myths about the oil in your car, right? And or oh, there's three things every car owner is overlooking. I'm going, okay, these are not the here's how to change things, here's how to do this, but rather it's here's how to like not have to come in and see me, and here's how to Here's some like industry secrets, for lack of a better, I don't like that word, but like for lack of a better thing. And I think that could be that angle, right? Because now you're becoming that trusted friend who's like, hey, Adams, like, I'm going to tell you this stuff. Like, don't tell anybody I told you, but like, here's the playbook to like, only come and see me every 5,000. Don't come and see me every 3. Like, and the trust is built there because I'm literally going like, hey, I don't want you to come pay me as much. Like, I'll take your money gladly when you need to use me, but I don't want you to have to come spend more money. Like, there's a level of trust there. And some people are, and I think we're breaking it as just content and helpful stuff has become more and more, and our world is more transparent. But a lot of businesses are like, why would I want to do that? Like, it doesn't make sense. But I think there's a level of trust there, especially when you talk about like a local mechanic specifically. So like, that's the strategy I was hearing in my head as you were talking about that. I'm like, and yeah, that could be videos. It could also be blog posts. It could also be, you know, guides and cheat sheets and stuff like that too. There's a lot of different content that you can go through, but from a social media standpoint, it can be short little tips and ideas and did you knows or don't forgets and things like that. I would imagine a mechanic that's been doing it for a little while at least has endless things that they could talk about that are in that realm. So
I think they have something every week where they could just say, you know, this car came in because they had a, you know, a squeak in the front wheel, and this is what it could potentially be. This is what it could potentially cost. Here's how to prevent it. Just, you know, just talking about it. I'm sure most mechanics would be able to just give that type of information just off the cuff, just like we're talking off the cuff in this podcast. So, yeah, no, I think that those are great. And to me, it always comes back to, you know, how does this relate to the products and services I sell? And like you said, Jeff, I think sometimes business owners are hesitant to try to give away things. The reality is, you know, if you keep fluids in a car, there's still going to be things that go wrong. And, you know, my mechanic told me one time that he doesn't make any money on oil changes. He just, oil changes are not a moneymaker. It's really more of a loss leader. And so, you know, we call in business, you call something a loss leader when you get a loss, but it brings the business in for a higher sale ticket item. And so oil changes, a lot of times for some companies, like probably Walmart, are a loss leader where they're barely breaking even. But then what happens is they find all these other repairs that need to happen. Or when repairs do need to happen, you're the go-to mechanic for the car. And so, you know, there's a lot of different strategy behind that, but hopefully this helps. I know we're running out of time here at the moment, but hopefully this has been helpful as far as how to think through content and come up with a simple strategy. Again, I don't think it has to be complex. It could be as simple as possible, but that's my take on content.
And I think that's a good way to wrap because we talked a lot about stuff, and I feel like even this episode, as we said, hey, this can be overwhelming a lot. This episode could still be very overwhelming for someone. And I think you just hit one of the key points is it doesn't have to be complicated because it doesn't have to be a lot. I think that's where a lot of people are like, well, I got to post 38 times a day on Twitter because it's fast. It's like, no, like, are there some advantages to posting a lot? Yes, absolutely. Sure. But you don't have to. If you're posting quality content and information, or if you're posting, you know, a couple times a week, or if you're creating content, like, it doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't have to be super complicated and crazy. When you were talking about like a car just came in, I'm like, that's like, that could literally be your content. Well, you don't even have to do any planning. It's literally like, hey, once a day, I'm going to pop my phone open after I finish an appointment, and I'm going to talk about whatever the heck I just did to that car. Hey, I was underneath this car and I was doing an oil change, you know, and I saw this thing and this was really cool and I wanted to point it out. Like, did you know that this little lever is under here and it causes a lot of problems? Like, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be super complicated. And that goes back to lean into your strengths, lean into what you feel good about doing, lean into what you're good at doing, lean into your voice that comes naturally with that. So, and then on the side note with that, for me, like the last little tip is like, and just start creating stuff and putting it out there too. Like let your personality shine through, but have some sort of strategy, but don't overthink and overwhelm yourself, which I think both, they sound like counter narrative to each other, but figure I hope we did a decent enough job in this episode. We'll see.
Jeff, I love that you said that because I just wrote down that, and this could be perfect for our opener, our little teaser here, if you remember this, but to use it as the teaser. But I wrote down, if content marketing is complex and overwhelming for you, it's because you are making it complex and overwhelming. It doesn't have to be complex and overwhelming. You can make it simple, and simple is all that's needed most times. And so I think that that's a great summary of content.
I'm definitely going to clip that for the start of the podcast episode, and we are going to wrap because that's the way to finish it. I love that. Yes.
That's right.
Boom, done.
So Jeff, where can we go to learn more about what you're doing these days?
Oh, you can find me over at Instagram. I'm @_JeffGargas. I'm also at Jeff Gargas over on Substack. I started writing over there. I'm writing about business, entrepreneurship, and life, and then trying to find the harmony through it all. So I'm writing a little bit business stuff, but also just like random junk that floats in my mind. So if you want a little like, I was going to say darker, deeper look into my mind, that might be a place to go. And I'm just sharing some random stuff over there. So Substack, and it's just Jeff Gargas over there. So I'll stick with those two for now.
That's great. And you could find more about me at businessstrategyschool.com. So that's it. I think we can wrap it. So that's
Adam,
what we have.
Where can I find more about the podcast? Or are you going to say that? Do you say that in your outro?
I say that in the closing right here. Yeah.
Someone get Jeff off this show.
Yes. Like, all right.
I'm going to edit my stupidness out. And then
it's all good. Well, that's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, Jeff, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you all next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business one step at a time.